Lathe, 1984. This piece was written for the forum section of my regional major newspaper, The Oregonian, in May of 1984. The arguments made are local and specific. The problem addressed is national and general. Any author who boasts about freedom of the press in the United States should, perhaps, make certain that none of his or her books has been banned, dropped from a reading list as immoral, or anti-religious, or secular humanist. That bogey includes almost all science fiction, or weeded out or locked away by a public librarian or school librarian under pressure. The trouble is, it's not a matter the author is likely to hear about. I would not have known that one of my books was to have a censorship hearing in Washougal, Washington, a town 20 minutes' drive from my city, if a librarian in that school district had not alerted me the night before the hearing. Little as I wish to, I have to assume that censorship has been and is being imposed on my books and on all literature in school districts, schools, and libraries all over the country, and that there is nothing I can do about it except protest against it whenever and wherever I can. A protest I know other writers and readers will share. In a small town near Portland late this spring, a novel, The Lathe of Heaven, was the subject of a hearing concerning its suitability for use in a senior high school literature class. I took a lively interest in the outcome because I wrote the novel. The case against the book was presented first. The man who was asking that it be withdrawn stated his objections to the following elements in the book: fuzzy thinking and poor sentence structure, a mention of homosexuality, a character who keeps a flask of brandy in her purse, and who remarks that her mother did not love her. It seemed curious to me that he did not mention the fact that this same character is a black woman whose lover husband is a white man. I had the feeling that this was really what he hated in the book, and that he was afraid to say so. But that was only my feeling. He also took exception to what he described as the author's advocacy of non-Christian religions and or of non-separation of church and state. His arguments on this point, or these points, were not clear to me. Finally, during discussion, he compared the book to junk food, apparently because it was science fiction. The English department of the school then presented a carefully prepared, spirited defense of the book, including statements by students who had read it. Some liked it, some didn't like it. Most objected to having it or any other book banned. In discussion, teachers pointed out that since it is the policy of the Washougal School District to assign an alternative book to any student who objects on any grounds to reading an assigned one, the attempt to prevent a whole class from reading a book was an attempt to change policy, replacing free choice by censorship. When the Instructional Materials Committee of the district voted on the motion to ban the book, the motion was defeated 20 votes to 5. The hearing was public and was conducted in the most open and democratic fashion. I did not speak, as I felt the teachers and students had spoken eloquently for me. Crankish attacks on the freedom to read are common at present. When backed and coordinated by organized groups, they become sinister. In this case, I saw something going on that worried me a good deal, because it did not seem to be coming from an outside pressure group, but from elements of the educational establishment itself. This was the movement to change policy radically by instituting or clarifying guidelines or criteria for the selection, elimination of books used in the schools. The motion on which this committee of the school district voted was actually that the book be withdrawn, quote, while guidelines and policies for the district are worked out, unquote. Those guidelines and policies were the real goal, I think, of the motion. Guidelines? That sounds dull, innocent, useful. Of course, we have to be sure about the kinds of books we want our kids to read in school, don't we? Well, do we? The dangerous vagueness of the term guidelines and policies for the district slides right past such questions as, who are we? Who decides what the children read? Does we include you, me, teachers, librarians, students? Are 15 to 18-year-olds ever we, or are they always they? And what are the guidelines to be? On what criteria or doctrines are they to be based? The people concerned with schools in Oregon try, with ever-decreasing budgets, to provide good, sound food in the school cafeterias, knowing that, for some students, that's the only real meal they get. They try, with ever-decreasing budgets, to provide beautiful, intelligent books in classes and school libraries, knowing that for many students, those are the only books they read. To provide the best. Everyone agrees on that. Even the people who vote against school levies. But we don't, and we can't agree on what books are the best. And therefore, what is vital is that we provide variety, abundance, plenty. Not books that reflect one body of opinion or doctrine. Not books that one group or sect thinks good, but the broadest, richest range of intellectual and artistic material possible. Nobody is forced to read any of it. There is that very important right to refuse and choose an alternative. When a bad apple turns up, it can be taken out of the barrel on a case-by-case, book-by-book basis, investigated, defended, prosecuted, and judged, as in the hearing on my lathe of heaven. But this can't be done wholesale by using guidelines, instructions for censorship. There is no such thing as a moral filter that lets good books through and keeps bad books out. Such criteria of goodness and badness are a moralist's dream, but a Democrat's nightmare. Censorship, here or in Russia or wherever, is absolutely anti-democratic and elitist. The censor says, "You don't know enough to choose, but we do. So you will read what we choose for you and nothing else." The Democrat says, the process of learning is that of learning how to choose. Freedom isn't given, it's earned. Read, learn, and earn it. I fear censorship in this Uriah Heepish guise of protecting our children, stricter criteria, moral guidance, a more definite policy, and so on. I hope administrators, teachers, librarians, parents, and students will resist it. Its advocates are people willing to treat others not only as if they were not free, but were not even worthy of freedom.